Good morning. Good to see you guys. Welcome to CCC Highland Square. How's everybody doing today? Everybody good? Is it still raining out? No. Okay. It was earlier. Good. You guys got a dry entrance this morning. Thanks for being here. Deacons, go ahead. We're going to go and take our offering. If you're new here, this is not for you. This is for those of us that call this place our home. So as that's happening, just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the house. So can we give a hand to the moms? Thank you. There may not be a role that requires more pouring out, self-sacrificing, laying your life down, dying to yourself for the sake of others than the role of a mom. So for those of you guys that do that day in and day out, thank you for doing that. That's absolutely huge. And I know I hear this, right? We've got five little ones, but I hear that the role of parenting is never finished and that you never stop being concerned about. I don't want to use the word worry, but I'm sure that that happens regularly where your job is never done as a mom. So thanks for doing that. And we want to celebrate moms this morning. We're going to pray for our moms in the house. And also, it's interesting how days like Mother's Day have one or another effect on people. Either it's a day of celebration and joy and thankfulness and just let's party. For some people, Mother's Day is a day of difficulty and sadness. And that's for a whole bunch of different reasons. And so the scriptures tell us to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. So this morning we kind of do a little bit of both, depending on where everybody's at. But we're going to pray. Let's pray for moms. And would you guys join me as we do that now? Father in heaven, thanks for the opportunity to gather together as your church here in this place, God. Thanks for the moms that are among us who, God, you have just been faithful to use over the years to raise their kids up, to grow and to bless as they've laid their lives down and sought you, Father. Thanks for their legacy that lives on even through them. And God, we pray that today would be a celebration of their work, a celebration of the position that you've called them into. And so, Father, pray that today for the moms in the house, that this would just be a celebration, that they would sense your joy all over them. And for, Father, for those on a Mother's Day, where Mother's Day erupts a different set of feelings, Father, we pray that you would bring comfort, yes, and that you would bring healing and that you would minister, God, in those special deep places where only you can get to bring the healing that only you can bring. So, Father, we trust you with both, and we give you today. Thanks for loving us so well in Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so there's one announcement that I want to bring to your attention, and that is that we've got a women's gathering coming up. You guys know that we're doing the women's gatherings. The women's gatherings are happening monthly, but the next one that's happening is going to be a little bit different. It's on May 20th. From 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. in this room, and it's going to be worship and prayer, and then prayer and worship, right, for 3 hours, which is a long time. That's going to be really cool. So I've heard a little bit about it, right, from the folks that are getting it ready. And so if you're a lady and you've got nothing going on that evening, would strongly encourage you to come. Even if you have something going on that evening, strongly encourage you to cancel that thing and then come to this thing, because I'm just guessing this will be better. Right? Even if it's an NBA playoff game, right? Even if. It's still going to be better here. So May 20th, 5 to 8, worship and prayer here. If you have the app on your phone, that information will be on the CCC Highland Square app. If you don't, at the back welcome table, Kim's back there, we've got some cards that you can take with you. If you're like me, if you forget things between here and your calendar, wherever you keep that, then take a postcard with you. And even take a couple others to invite friends, if you are so inclined. Okay, so with that, last thing that I want to do is I'm going to invite up some friends. And the friends that I want to invite up, we're going to invite up Paul and Sarah Huffstetler and Sarah and Jeremy Banzoff. So come on up wherever y'all are at. Yeah, here they come. Yeah, but so we're welcoming more than just Paul and Sarah and Sarah and Jeremy. We are welcoming Joshua Benjamin Huffstetler. Joshua, can you wave to everybody? Hey, you're a talented young man. And then Nadia Dean. Where's Nadia Dean? Right over there. Hi, Nadia. Hey, everybody. Okay, so Yeah, this is awesome. Thanks for bringing life to the stage. You guys are so cool. This is awesome. So we're going to do some, we call them baby dedications, but really I kind of like to call them parent dedications because the babies really don't have to do anything. They just kind of just breathe and eat, right? But it's the parents that kind of have the monumental role in front of them. So we're going to dedicate them this morning, and you guys are going to play a role in that, all right? And I'll get to your role in a second. But let me read this, all right? Parents, you guys ready for this? This is Proverbs 22:6. This is a big deal right here, okay? I want you to hear this. It says, train a child up in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not depart from it. Even though Nadia wants to depart from the stage, right? You train her in the way, and she will stay. She will stay on the path, right? So train a child up in the way that they should go, right? It makes it sound a little bit easy, right? Like take out the garbage and then the trash will be taken out of the house. Or turn, you know, it sounds like it's an easy thing to do. But man, there's probably no more difficult task that you guys will face through the course of your life than training these kids up and or keeping them on the stage, right? It's hard. It's hard being a parent, isn't it? For those of you guys that have been there. So we happen to live in a culture where it's really interesting. Culturally speaking, there's this weird thing going on out there where, like, parents want to give their kids freedom to choose their own way, right? Freedom to, wait, we don't want to indoctrinate them, or we don't want to mold them hands-on. We want them to have freedom to choose their own religion, to choose their own gender identity, to choose their own, like, whatever, right? And we there's this, like, movement to have a hands-off sort of approach with kids. But that's not God's way. Right? God's way is that he creates these little human beings, right? And that in their littleness, and the older we get, the less this is so, but in our littleness, we are moldable, right? We are able to be impressed upon, right? And so God has instituted parents for the sake of molding and impressing and training up, right? These kids in the way that they should go. So that is your task that is ahead of you, because there's nothing more precious that you have in your care than these little ones, okay? So now, to you parents, I'm going to ask you guys several declarations of intent, and then we're going to pray for you as a body. But I'm going to ask you some questions, and then if you agree, I want you to say, we do, okay? Here's the first one. Parents, do you acknowledge that your child is a gift from God? Right? And there's some moments where it doesn't seem like that, right? I understand that. But generally, we acknowledge that, man, their kids are a gift. Number two, here's, do you desire to live a godly life before your kids so that he or she will have an example to follow?
We do.
Good. Number three, do you commit yourself to give your child the opportunity to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus, regularly? And the last question for you guys, do you commit yourself to raise your kids in the instruction of the Lord, hands-on?
We do.
Okay, awesome. Now, question for you guys, because you are the extended spiritual family of these families. And if you agree, I'm going to ask you to say we do. And if you don't, then we'll talk to you afterwards in the back, right? Just kidding. Okay, here's a question. As the extended spiritual family of these parents, do you commit to supporting these parents and these kids in this endeavor?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you to pray. Man, I got choked up at the 9 o'clock hour at a different time. There's something about parents and kids and the rest of their lives and the Lord speaking into that that kind of like moves me. I hope it moves you. And if it does, I'm going to ask you to pray with me, pray a blessing over these parents and over these kids, that God would do everything that he wants to do in these kids, right? Because it's all good. It's all beautiful, and this world will come against them. The enemy will come against them. These parents are the protectors and the defenders and the molders of them, and it's a hard job to do. It's always a hard job to do. In this world, it's particularly difficult, so you got to pray with me for these guys. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for Paul and Sarah and for Sarah and Jeremy and for giving them Joshua Benjamin Hufstetler and Nadia Dean Banzoff. God, thank you for the gifts that these kids are. And Father, they are precious cargo. God, there is a value, there is a price tag associated with these kids that, God, is inestimable. It is massive. God, in your economy, these kids are so important. And Father, you want to do things in these children, in the years to come, in their life. God, you want to do incredible things in them so that you can do incredible things through them. So Father, to that end, we pray for the parents, God. We pray for Paul and Sarah, for Sarah and Jeremy, that your hand of blessing would be on them, that you would pour your wisdom out into them. God, that you would give them the right balance, the fullness of both patience and assertiveness, that you would help them to be assertive, to mold their kids, but also gentle with them in the journey. Father, help them to raise these kids, to train them up in the way that they should go, so that they might walk in paths of life following after Jesus. And Father, we pray as a church that you would help us to support them. God, for many of us who through the kids ministry and junior high and high school things in years to come, God, we will have a hand in joining with them in raising these kids. God, we ask that you would bless us and help us to do a phenomenal job of loving them and caring for them, protecting them and growing them. Father, to the end of seeing you glorified in their lives and to the end of them living joy-filled lives as your son and daughter, God, we ask you to do it. Would your blessing be on these families? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys give these families a hand. Thank you, guys. So cool.
Thank you.
You good? Okay. Okay, with that, I'm going to invite up and ask you to give a hand to one more friend this morning, Coach Boyd. Come on down. You guys give a hand to Coach. Now, typically when Coach has you guys pray, he has you hold hands and get across the aisle and do that sort of thing. I'm not Kemp. I can't do that. I'm just like, everybody sit down and fold your hands, right? That's me. So I'm gonna be me. Thanks for being you. But we're going to pray that God would open our minds and our hearts to receive everything that he wants to give us this morning. So Kemp, thanks for being faithful to bring the word this morning. So let me pray. Father in heaven, we need you always. And God, in these moments right now, the best thing that we can do is hear from you. Yes. God, that you would minister to our minds and our hearts, that you would encourage us, that you would exhort us, that you would lead us in the paths of righteousness. God, in this path of victory, because everything you do is good. Father, we pray that you would open up the heavens this morning, that you would shower your presence down on us, that you would use Kemp as the conduit through which you would speak to us by your Spirit. So, Father, we give you freedom to move in this place, God, for the sake of your kingdom come, your will being done. We give you freedom among us this morning. Pray for Kemp, God. Loosen him and use him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, glory to God and good morning to you. Okay, we're going to do this again. All right. It's okay. Thank you. You know, what happens is, let me just go by how we kind of got here today. Brian, maybe a few weeks ago, said, "Hey, Kemp, man, what do you think about speaking on May the 13th? And I said, "Man, great, good. You know, I'm excited about that." I said, "But man, but that's Mother's Day." And he said, "Yeah," he said, "it is, man." And he said, "Just know this, that Mother's Day is the third most populated day that people come to church, outside of Christmas and Easter." So I'm like, "Yeah, no pressure." I said, "Okay." But I said, "Ryan, if I got to do it, you got to let me kind of just be in my element and kind of just be who I am." He said, "Well, what are you thinking?" I was like, "Well, I kind of see this more as a halftime speech to the team, right? We're a team, we're teammates, so, you know." And I said, "I need a dry erase board. I got to have my whistle, right, because this is all the power in the world." And, I said, "Hey, I need my dry erase marker, right, because I got to be able to write." So this is kind of how we got here, and just so excited, man, about what God is doing in the life of our church family and our church team. And so this morning I was a little thrown off. And what threw me off was my wife. Last night we had this big plan. You know how you make plans with your wives if you're a husband. And she said, "Babe, listen, I really need to get to church early in the morning, so I need you to take the babies." Now, there's an agreement in our home that anybody under 2 foot, I don't really mess with and kind of take. unless she's with me, because I'm going to forget something, something's going to happen, it's just not going to be right. And I said, no, I can do it, right? And so, because I said, oh, I'll have Virginia. Virginia will be there to help. So I'm getting done, getting cleaned up, and I had to shave my hair, and you guys may think, you may think, well, it's not taking, let me just shave my hair, but anybody that has shaved hair, this is a process.
It's a process.
It's not easy. This is not an easy thing to shave your hair and to do all that, because you could cut yourself, but that's a whole other story. So I get done with all that, and I come out, and I got Umari over here, I got Matthias, and, you know, of course, my boys always are with me. But I'm looking just frantically and saying, where is Virginia? And so Asa, my older son, says, oh, she went with mom. I'm like, what? This wasn't a part of the plan. And so I immediately called, I said, Stacy, where's Virginia and Ashley? He's like, oh, they're with me. And I'm like, this is not what we agreed on. And so I have the little ones, and we made it here safe and sound, but it's one of those things where no matter how early you get up, no matter how I say, we're going to leave on this time, that doesn't happen. Because I had to run back in two times because I forgot bottles, I forgot bags, I forgot wipes. I forgot all these different type of things that moms never forget. So I say all this to say, Stacy, love you. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. There's no way I can get through this on my own. So we're going to begin our conversation today. We're going to be talking about a cover two defense. Now listen, when we play cover two, we have to understand and know that we're going to give up, all right, that little seam in between the flats and the deep posts. I got two high safeties that are responsible for half of the field, okay? So we're going to draw this up. Now listen, now one thing I don't tolerate my halftime is no laughing, there's no talking. But I forgot Paulo's up front, so I'm in trouble. So we're gonna kind of do this just to give us some type of thing about what we're doing. We're not gonna go through all these different type of things because I don't want to bore some people with it. But it is a lot of fun. I love it. So if you want to talk ball, I love talking ball. We can do this all day. But just want to kind of set the mood here for, hey, we're coming into halftime. Okay, we're probably about halfway through our season. We just completed the first two quarters of a game. All right, we had some really great moments, some really high moments, some really great spots, but at the same time, we've left some plays on the field. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, we've left some plays on the field. There's some first downs that we should have got that we didn't get, all right? There were some penalties that we had that we shouldn't have had because, man, maybe we didn't control ourselves in that moment and we got a 15-yard penalty from sportsmanlike conduct, okay? But here we are now. We're gathered back in at halftime, and listen, this is what the charge is. This is what we're looking to do. We're looking to prepare ourselves for the second half of the game, and in our church sense, for the second half of our year, all right? Everybody look to your neighbor and say, neighbor. There we go. Everybody's got a neighbor, so we're going to start this again. I'm going to do little things like just keep you on your toes. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I better listen today. He's got his whistle on, and it could be trouble. The one thing I want to let you guys know, when I talk today, I'm not lifting up Pastor Brian. I just want to make that clear. I'm not lifting him up, okay? What I am going to do is I'm going to acknowledge what God is doing through him. And I just want to preface that because I don't want Brian to be embarrassed because that's not what Brian sees. He don't seek acclaim, right? Have anybody ever seen Brian, how he dresses? He's not looking for acclaim, all right? But I want to make sure that we understand and know that I'm really praising what God is doing through him, all right? So for me, when I coach, this is what I wear when I coach on a Friday night. Because I feel like it's important. I want to make sure, first of all, I'm presenting myself as an example to my players about how we want to be and how we want to conduct ourselves from a business perspective. All right? But Brian, our pastor, who has been leading us through kind of the first half of our year as a congregation, and the very first thing that we talked about this start of this game was be transformed. And we got a really great word about how God is never going to take us from here and bring us here, right? But God is always looking to elevate us. He's always looking to transform us. And we know based on Romans 12 and 2 that, man, we get transformed by the constant renewing of our mind, right? Because what God wants to do is he never wants to take us, like we said, from here to here, but God wants to move us from glory to glory to glory to glory, right? And so in order for that to happen, we have to make sure that we're in a position, as Brian walks us through this, that we have to be in a state that we can acknowledge or truth tell where we're at. Now, I'm not going to ask who all did the homework last week, or even if you remember what the homework was. But the homework was we had to truth tell our geography to somebody that we trusted. Not to everybody, but to maybe that one or maybe that two persons that we really feel connected with in the kingdom that, man, I can really truth tell where I'm at, okay? That's one of the plays that we got from our coach, okay? Another play that we talked about was, man, we had scripture that came out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 when we talked about Jehoshaphat. And our pastor stood up here, very vulnerable, very just like, hey, listen, this is kind of where I'm at, and this is where we are as a church. Hey, we got to find a building, man. And I have no earthly idea how we're going to do that. And see, the beauty about that is that he stood up here before us not really having an answer, as the world would say an answer should come. But he just stood up here completely vulnerable, which I'm sure was uncomfortable for him, okay? And so he just stood up there and he just talked. And so as a coach, one of the things I love about coaching, and Tom Cousineau, he can relate to this a lot, is I love watching film. I love it. I love watching film. I love the grind of watching until my eyeballs fall out and I'm falling asleep, and it's just, oh my gosh, right? But the one thing I love about watching film is I love to self-scout. And self-scouting is just what it sounds like. I like scouting our football team and our football program. I like to see what our tendencies are, because if I can know what our tendencies are, then who else is going to know what our tendencies are? Our opponent. So if I can study what we do as a football program, are we a heavy run team or are we a heavy pass team? What are we doing on first down? What are we doing on second down and on third down, right? What are we doing on those plays? There was a game I broke down that we did, and I saw that, man, we had 15 first down, and 12 out of the 15 first down, we ran the ball on first down. So me being a defensive guy, I go back to my offensive coordinator, and I said, hey, Nick, man, we got to change this up. If I can see that we're running the ball 75 to 80% of the time on first down, guess what? That's what our opponent's going to see. And so if our opponents know that, they're going to put about 8 or 9 in the box, and they're going to say, hey, man, go ahead and run it, because we know what y'all are going to do. Y'all going to run the ball. Now, let's get this back to us spiritually. Christ Jesus, man, he's our everything, right?
Everything.
He's our all in all.
That's right.
And I allude to this in the first service, but I think it's really good to kind of talk about this now, how anytime we are self-scouting or self-assessing ourselves, and this is kind of what our pastors kind of put before us. He came up here and he really said, hey, my tendency is not to share these things with you. That's my tendency. My tendency is kind of hold it all in and just kind of say, hey, I'm going to pray and we're going to work it out. But his tendency wasn't to come up here and say, hey, fellas, listen, this is what's going to go on in church. I don't know how we're going to get there, but I tell you what, we're going to fast and we're going to sing. And then our worship leader, who's this tall, is going to lead us into battle. Well, I'm like, Brian, I don't know how I feel about that, right? I need, like, Daniel to lead me into battle, right? Daniel's, you know, he's big and he's stocky. I don't need Ben. God bless Ben. I love Ben now. He's going to lead and he's going to lead us in worship, but I don't know if I want him to lead me in battle. And that can make some of us a little bit uncomfortable, because why? We are constantly looking on the outside. We're always looking on the outside appearance of people, right? And we're always saying, hey, man, well, this, that, and third, but God looks on the heart, and he looks on the inside of us. So when Brian gets up and he says, hey, I don't know what we're going to do, but, hey, we turn and look at Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat's in his place, and he's so concerned because he knows his team is coming to play him, man, and they ain't never lost. They're undefeated. Everybody's 6'6 and up. But the one thing Jehoshaphat did, and I'm so glad that our pastor did it, he just sought the Lord and he declared a fast amongst the people. Amen. He didn't lean to his own understanding.
Come on.
He said, hey, this is where I'm at. Completely vulnerable. Completely unlike Brian. And just said, hey, this is where I'm at, team. Why? Because his tendency would be, is I'm going to suppress this and I'm going to hold this in. I'm going to safeguard it. And guess what, family? If he knows that about himself, who else knew that about him? His opponent, the enemy. And we know by the word of God that our adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And in that moment, our pastor had to make a decision. Based on his time with God, based on prayer, to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to break this tendency. I'm not going to run on first down anymore. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to switch it up so my opponent don't know which way I'm coming.
Come on.
And so now for the past 2 or 3 weeks, he's talking to us about different things. And he's saying, okay, listen, he declared a fast and we all fasted. He said, I went to the Lord and he said, man, listen, this is our homework for this week. We're going to fast. Now, I'm sure all you guys are jumping up and down about fasting, but Kemp wasn't. Kemp, and, you know, it's hard for Kemp to push his plate back. I'm truth telling, and y'all laughing at me, and I'm hurt about that.
I'm sorry.
And so what happens is he declared something in us, and we said, okay. When the tendency might have been, well, man, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Why? Because culturally, at least what I've been exposed to as far as church and far as pastors, all the information is locked up in the pastor. Mm-hmm. Well, pastor know what we need to do. Pastor's got all the answers, but he said, no, when you go out and fast, you may have a word to bring back to us. Just don't look for me to have the answer, he said. But he challenged all of us, based on our relationship with God, to say, you need to go fast. And as we fast, we'll gain a word that we can bring back to this team, to this house, man, that we can be blessed in. I'm not used to that. What I'm used to is the pastor knowing the direction and knowing where to go. Because we've put pastors up on a pedestal that you're supposed to know. And I'm not here to be offensive to anybody. Now, I'm just speaking from my experience.
Come on.
But that's what we've done. What our pastors asked us to do is come alongside me to walk this out with me as a team member and as a teammate, because this is something that we're all going to get through together. So us cutting and running is not about what we're about.
Come on.
We're going to stick and stay, and God is going to lead us down this path of victory that Brian has been talking to us about. Pastor Brian's also talked to us about, man, the importance of acknowledgement, and he showed that. So he just didn't talk about it. He didn't say, hey, man, y'all need to go acknowledge yourselves, right? No, he stood before us all, and he acknowledged. He said, hey, man, this is where I'm at. And he exposed himself before us. Again, this is not about uplifting him. This is about what God can do through us all. When we begin to acknowledge and we lay ourselves aside, because I have to what? Decrease in order for him to increase in my life. And as long as I'm holding on to some things, as long as I'm holding on to different tendencies in my own life, guess what? Man, he's not going to be able to move. And I stay in further bondage to the enemy, to my opponent. Brian also talked to us about, man, the importance of our praise and our worship and worshiping and praising through our situation. Last week, he talked to us about, man, James 5 and 16, how he talks about, man, confess your sins to one another. And we had the homework assignment talking about, man, you need to go truth tell your geography to somebody. And some of us, it might have made us a little bit uncomfortable. We might even ask the question within ourselves, well, why do I have to do that? Because this is the thing, family. If we don't do that, we stay in bondage to whatever that sin is.
Come on.
Until you confess and acknowledge that, you're going to keep yourself in bondage.
Right.
And that's where the enemy wants you to stay. Do you think the enemy wants to see us, man? Do you think he wants to see Christ Community Chapel, Hudson Square Campus, out here on fire for God? No, he doesn't. He wants us to stay bound up. He wants us to stay in a place to where, man, we're not talking. He wants us to stay in a place to where we don't have a Black History Month program that makes us a little bit uncomfortable. Yeah, I said it. I'm sorry. But see, that was a part of our path to victory as well. Being able to put ourselves in some of those places that, man, I may have never done, now we're beginning to expose some things about ourselves and thus exposing the hand of the enemy. We're breaking our own tendencies. Because what the enemy says, oh, man, they ain't never going to do that. There's never going to be a multi-church over there because, man, I know within some of those people that they really don't like that. They really don't like some of them songs that are being sung. I know they sit up there and they sing, but they really don't like it. See, this is what the enemy attempts to do, but we're breaking our tendency, family. Amen. Come on, now. It's okay to be excited about this because we're breaking our tendencies. Whatever tendencies we had before we came in, they don't exist among us anymore because why? Our pastor's given us a great playbook and a play script to go by. He said, acknowledge. He said, go in truth tell. Hey, I can get in there with you. And once I do that, what begins to happen is I begin to form a smaller team, which we call here our community groups, right? And now I can go to them and say, hey, this is kind of really where I'm at. And now we can talk about that. And now I can get encouraged. And now I can get equipped to say, when this happens, I can say, hey, based on God's word, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, right? I can say that, man, greater is he in me than he that's in the world, right? I can say those things, and I can begin to confess my own victory, amen? I can begin to break my own tendencies. Instead of me getting mad, I can say, hey, I can be angry and sin not. Come on. I don't have to go in my house after a hard day, and now I lash out on my wife or on my children. Never would I lash on my wife. She intimidates me. But on my children, and I don't have to get on my children in a bad way, because why? I've went and I've talked to my brother, said, brother, you know what, man, I had a hard day today, and this is what's coming against me. And he can say, brother, listen, I'm breaking my tendency because I've done a self-scout on Kemp. I've self-assessed Kemp, and I realized, man, Kemp, man, you got some things going on that you really need to handle and deal with. Mm-hmm. But understand something, teammates. I can only do this, man, because our leader done it first. Mm-hmm. God is a God of order now. And that gives us all comfort when he can stand up as being the pastor of this house and be in charge to minister to us and stand up and say, hey, man, this is kind of where I'm at. Well, man, if Brian can do it in front of all those people and all those cloud of witnesses, man, I think I can do it in front of maybe two people. We're breaking the tendency, and that's something to be encouraged about. Amen. We're breaking the tendency of who we are and how we handle and deal with some things. Amen? Amen. All right. I'm painting a picture for you. And then we talked about this word, man, metanoia. He talks us about this word, metanoia. And he begins to, again, truth tell on himself, say, hey, man, listen, I've done many sermons talking about repentance, right? But he said, I'm here to tell you, man, that's wrong. That's wrong. Not a lot of men, not a lot of pastors are going to stand up and just tell you, man, hey, I was wrong about that. But I didn't stay in a place of just staying saying I'm wrong about it, but I'm going to get the information or the research to show you why I was wrong. So it's not about repentance, because if we talk about repentance, what? We're still putting it on us to actually turn ourselves around and walk the other way. I'm doing that in my own strength, all right? But metanoia takes me to a place where I begin to see Christ differently, man, and it was like, this brother got deep on me. But where did that all start from? Think about this. Now, that all started, why? It all started when it's like, hey, man, I'm open. I'm going to give this to you. I pray. I seek the Lord. I fast. Boom. And now God's beginning to drop all these nuggets down. And he's beginning to show us how we need to walk along our path to victory. How we need to walk along that path and how we need to be. And so when he started talking about a path to victory, I got very excited because I love victory, right? That's a great thing. I'm highly competitive. And y'all have heard about the whole Monopoly deal stuff, and I really, think there was some cheating going on, but I don't want to talk about that right now. But we get so caught up and concerned in the word victory, right? And we love that word. That word looks great, and we all get charged about victory, but we forget to look at the word path. And that's a very important word. And so as I studied this more, I said, man, we need to define what path is. It's a course of action, conduct, or procedure. It's a course of action that we're taking to get to an ultimate result. It's a course of action. It's a course of action. As a coach, we take a course of action every week. And we prepare ourselves, we prepare our football players to go and participate in the game on a Friday or a Saturday. Because that's testing day, as I like to call it. We're going to go, hey, we're going to get you prepared for the test that we're going to take, right? And so anybody that's ever done anything, you know you got a testing day. Everybody's had to go to some type of schooling. And you would prepare yourself, and that was your path. And based on how you went down that path, either you did really well on the test or you didn't do so good on the test. But we all were giving some type of a course of action along that pathway. My encouragement, my charge to us today is simply enjoy the process that leads to the destination. Let's enjoy the process that leads to the destination. Too many times we get caught up in just wanting to fast forward to the destination, right? I don't know how many people in here travel, but I travel. I go down south to see family members, and then Stacy will tell you, man, I'm very rigid about it. We ain't stopping. We ain't stopping to use the bathroom. There's no snacks. You better get what you got now because I'm trying to get there, right? But what I realize is, man, I'm not enjoying the process or the journey of going to see my family. I'm just trying to hurry up and get there, right? Because I'm tired of driving. Because Stacy never drives. She just kind of sits over there, and she may fall asleep. Thank you, brother. I'm truth-telling again, and y'all laughing at me now. But she don't drive. But then they always look at you, right, and say, well, babe, do you need me to drive? What do you mean, do I need you to drive? You know I need you to. This is a conversation I'm having in my head. I ain't saying it to her now. But we get so caught up in concern about just getting there that we don't enjoy the process of the journey of getting there. We don't enjoy the process of being married and getting married and then thriving in our marriage, or the process of parenthood. I think it was two Mondays ago, we celebrated 13 years of marriage, man. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. Married 13 years. And it's funny because we sat back and we went out and we reflected on some things. And it was there. She was like, yeah, it's been 13 great years. And I said, sister, I don't know about them first two, though. But when I look back on it, man, I enjoy being married to Stacy. I enjoy coming home every day. And yeah, every day is not easy. Every day, man, there's some bumps in the roads and it can be kind of a bell-shaped curve. But man, what I want to charge us is let's enjoy the process that leads to the destination, our path to victory. Now, you're going to be sitting there, you're going to say, man, okay, Kemp, that sounds great and that's good, but how do I shift from looking at a process of the journey from being dreadful to enjoying it? How do I, because we can't flip a switch, right? That's not something that we can do. We just can't flip a switch and say, oh, man, now I enjoy this. Now this is great for me, right? Well, if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and obviously, man, it's a verse that most of us know and we say, and, you know, we feel strengthened when we say it, but I just want to give us some context around it and about Paul who wrote it. You know, he's writing this to the Philippian church, and he's not writing it in a place to where we're at, where he's amongst believers, and he's sitting in a place of comfort, but he's in prison. And so the Philippian church sent him a gift. And so Paul's writing this as almost like an appreciation letter to them. Verse 10 reads, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now, at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. And this is what I love. Not that I am speaking from a being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Man, that just hits me in a different way, man, because I think I've been there, but I haven't been there and experienced the way he did. I've been in times when I've wanted and didn't have. But what he's saying is he says, hey, I appreciate your gift, but understand something. I wasn't asking for anything materialistically from you. What I was asking for is for you to continue to pray for me. Pray that I be steadfast and faithful in the work of the Lord. Paul wasn't looking for anything financial. Paul just wanted to be strengthened through prayer to stay in the good fight of faith. Amen. And that's kind of the charge that we've gotten from our pastors that, hey, listen, yeah, there's some uncomfortable things that are going on, but this is the thing, whatever situation that we're placed in, as a team, as the body of Christ, as an individual, know that, and we all love this scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
All things.
All things.
Yes.
No, I think it said I can do some things. Some other things I got to leave out. No, I mean, he said I can do all things. And who better to say that than Paul, who was writing this in prison? He says, I can do all things. No matter if I'm well-fed or if I'm hungry, no matter if I'm living in abundance or I'm living in lack, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what I had to get correct in myself, that doesn't mean I can go and climb on top of the church and jump down, I won't get hurt. No, that's not what we're talking about. I can go through any situation or circumstance in my life on my path to victory and have contentment. And I can be content in whatever happens. Whether it's, hey, we're looking for a church. Whether it's, hey, I need to fast. Whether it's, hey, I need to acknowledge some things. Whether it's, hey, I need to go truth tell my geography to somebody. I can be content in that and say, you know what? God has destined me to have victory every day along this path to victory.
Amen.
Victory is not a destination. Victory for the believer should be a common occurrence every day of our lives. Because we serve and because we worship a sovereign God who we have submitted our lives to. So this is why Paul says, I can do all things. And if it was good for Paul, it's got to be good for us. It should be the same confession that we're saying. Oh, man, I got three kids and they're all sick and this, that, and the third. You know what? I can do all things through Christ. I'm going to be content in that moment. Oh, I had to bring all my babies today, and it wasn't. Hey, I got to be content in that moment. And I got to say thank you, God, for the babies that I have. And I'm going to be content and live in that moment. One of the biggest things I heard Pastor Brian say is, hey, church, he said, I want you to understand something. We're not praying and asking God for a building. And I was like, what? Well, you just told us we ain't going to have this one. It seems like the natural thing to do is to pray for another building. Said, nah. Similar to Paul, I'm not praying and ask for anything materialistically from God. He said, we're going to pray to see what God wants to do with us next. We're not praying for a building, teammates, brothers and sisters. We're praying to see what God wants to do with us next. But the charge and the encouragement I want to give you is, let's be content along that process. Let's be content in, hey, right now we may not know. Hey, right now I'm just going to praise and I'm going to worship him with all my heart. I'm going to love my brothers and sisters and Christ as I love myself. And I'm going to be content in that. We ain't going to tuck tail, turn, and run and leave one another.
Come on.
But we're going to force together all the more to say, hey, brother, I got your back. What do you need? Sister, what do you need? Sister, can you pray with me? Brother, can I pray with you?
Yes.
This is what we're looking to do. This is why we're in the locker room together. Because we're going to have to go back out, and we're going to have to finish the rest of this game. Mm-hmm. So when we get back in that locker room, the locker room, man, is a sacred place. Everybody can't come in there. At least not mine. Because why? I want to be able to address my team. And I want to be able to love on them, but I also want to be able to correct them where correction needs to happen.
Come on.
But at the end of the day, when we walk back out, we're going to walk back out, man, encouraged and ready to go and ready to defeat an opponent that's already defeated.
Amen. Amen.
That's the charge, and that's what we have. And I'm so thankful, man. And I've told Brian this before. I said, man, thank you, man, for being vulnerable, because why? There's liberation and there's power in that.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's some power in us just dropping our guard. And just worshiping and just saying, hey, man, this is where I'm at. And moving forward and moving on. So we're talking about how contentment is something that we got to put in our spiritual toolbox. It's another tool for us, along with all the fruits of the Spirit and all those things. Contentment is one of those powerful tools, man, because the Word of God says, I believe in 1 Timothy, it talks about godliness with contentment is great gain. So we have to learn contentment. We have to acquire this type of contentment. And I know you're thinking, man, Brother Kim, how do we do that? Coach, how do we do that? How do we acquire this contentment, man, that you speak of? Because this is where I'm at. And again, if we're all true, Tim, we're like, man, I'm not as content as I want to be. And if we look in our society, we live in a very discontent society. Our consumer debt as a nation is ridiculous. Why? Because we're trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're trying to keep up with what everybody else got when we really don't need it. Our divorce rate is higher than it's ever been. Why? Because people are discontent with their spouses. And so they think the grass is greener, so they get a divorce and they leave. People leave jobs for the same reason. Nobody's staying on jobs 5, 10, 20 years anymore. Why? They're like, oh man, I don't want this no more, and they leave. But let's understand some saints. We don't treat God or the things of God the way we treat things in the world.
Come on,
we have to get back to the process, and Brian introduced this a couple of weeks ago, a metanoia. We have to begin to see him differently to gain this type of contentment that we're looking for. First of all, we got to start seeing him as the sovereign one,
yes.
in whom we have to submit to. We have to see him as Savior in whom we serve.
Yes.
And we have to see him as the sufficient one in whom we trust. And we can begin to change our mind to see him that way, then contentment is there for us to take and to apply to our life. But there's some things that we have to do. There's some work that we have to do. Our opponent is not just going to lay down because he's already defeated. Because our opponent lies and tricks us to make us think that he's not when he already is. So it don't mean he's going to stop fighting against us. He's going to come all the more. He might hit you as soon as you walk out this door and say, hey, man, you really didn't get out the locker room. You wasn't talking about nothing. You still mad and you still don't know how to conduct yourself in the right way. And he's going to start to begin to play with you. But I'm going to tell you right now, as the Word of God says, you can cast down every imagination, every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
I am no longer enslaved. I'm no longer bound by the sins that what's held me before now. Because my pastor says I need to go truth tell. I need to get this off of me. I need to get this off of me and place it where it belongs, and that's on the cross. Let's not make what Jesus did in vain, man. He's already taken all this, man. Let's stop living it and living with it. Let's just keep moving forward and keep praising God all the way. Through metanoia, the change will come that we need to see, looking at him as sovereign, savior, and sufficient. Going back to our tendencies and our habits and having to break those tendencies. The children of Israel had a tendency to be disobedient to God. They had a tendency to always go back, burn some sacrifices. God, we apologize, go back out. Then it's like, man, y'all doing it again. That was the tendency. They spent 40, they spent time in the wilderness, right? And God said, listen, this is all you're going to do, and you're going to get enough just for that day. They didn't keep that. That was a tendency. They kept disobeying God. That was the tendency. God knew that. The opponent knew that. And so now God, man, God had to go call in the player now. He said, okay, you might have got my people, but I don't know if you're going to get this guy. So after Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist, the Spirit of God led him out into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And the order of God is this. Just like God led the children of Israel in the wilderness, the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. And so just like the children of Israel was tempted and had commandments, so did Jesus. And Jesus was tempted by his adversary, by his opponent, not on day one, not on day five, not on day 10, but as the enemy tries to do, because he's who he is, and he's a thief and a liar, he comes to seek and destroy. He comes to him on the 40th day because he says, now I got him. His defenses are down. He's at his weakest. I got him. The enemy's going to try to attack us in our fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. He's going to try to attack us in our fourth quarter. But it's in our fourth quarter when we should be at our strongest. The one thing that we implore to our team, we're going to be a great finishing team. We're going to finish strong. We're going to finish well. Saints of God, I just want to encourage all of us, man, to finish well.
Yes.
Let's finish well, man.
Yes, sir.
We've got really great word on the front end. We're in here at halftime. It's Mother's Day. It's going to be a beautiful time. We walk out, man. Let's make sure we finish well.
Yes.
And we know that every single commandment that the children of Israel disobeyed, we know that Jesus obeyed it. Jesus obeyed it. Praise God. He said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
Get behind me. Mm-hmm. You no longer have any place or dominion here, because now I'm on the scene. And we can take on that same attitude. Get behind us, Satan. Get behind Christ Community Chapel. You have no place here. You have no place here, and what God is going to do is going to be magnificent.
Yes.
Not because of any one person, but it's going to be because of us. And we were obedient to stick and to stay together. We was obedient to do the heavy lifting, to do our homework.
Come on.
And God is going to be glorified as a result of it. Let's finish strong, family. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a heavy lift. It is. But I think, thank God for Brian, man, that he didn't go try to form a committee either. We're going to go form his committee to go find us a building. I'm glad he didn't do that. Even though that was my first thought, but I'm glad it wasn't his. We don't need a committee, man, when we got God.
Amen.
Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. That's why we can trust him. He knows what our very need is. He knows that we're not in need of a building. What we're in need of, God, what do you want to do through us?
Yes.
And how do you want to take us through this second half of this year so that we can be a blessing for you and that we can establish your kingdom here in the city of Akron? That's our charge, teammates, brothers and sisters. That's what our charge is. That's why we get up in the morning. That's why we wake up. That's why we go, is because, man, I want to be filled and I want to be charged and I want to know what God wants to do through me today.
Amen.
How's he want to use me today? Because I'm open, I'm vulnerable, I've truth told. I did all these things. God, I'm ready. I'm no longer bound. My opponents no longer holding anything over my head and say, hey, you're not worthy. You can't do that. That's not for you. What do you mean you're going to go preach God's word and you're going to go coach and you're going to be married for 13 years and you're going to have all these kids because you don't know how to raise them? Come on now. That's how the enemy tried to speak to me. And I had to cast that down because greater is he that's in me,
yes,
that's he that's in the world. Let's go, man. Get up. Let's go. Man, woo. Glory to God. Come on back up. Praise and worship team. Come on, come on. Where my man Ben? Ben love me, don't he? My man. Glory to God. Man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, thank you guys so much for just allowing me to speak God's word. And allowing me just to bring it the way God gave it to me to bring it. Man, Father in heaven, we thank so much for your goodness. Man, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for the house that you're building here. Thank you, Lord God, for my brothers and my sisters. I praise you for them. Man, I thank you for the gifts and the talents that are in this house. I thank you so much, Father God. Thank you for our leadership. Thank you for Pastor Brian. Thank you for his heart. Thank you, Father God, for his family, for his children. Lord God, help us to honor one another more and better. Because, Lord God, it's through honoring one another that we honor you. Father God, empower us to go on this path with victory each and every day. Help us to enjoy the process. Help us to enjoy the process that leads to the destination that we are on. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Christ's name, amen.